So we have hope for healing rain today, in this hour in which we live. A time when so many people lose hope, things get too difficult, despair can set in. But Christianity has an upside-down theology. Down is up, up is down. We lose ourselves in order to find ourselves. We admit we're wrong so that we can be declared right in God. We're strongest when we're weakest. But today, we're going to be talking about one of the real paradoxes, which is rejoicing in suffering, being able to have hope through times of suffering. Instead of learning, as the world would tell you, just put up with it or get over it or find some way to kill the pain. So there's a secret here, there's a mystery, there's a hidden treasure, as usual, which declares the reality of a life lived with God. So it's the story of the gospel again, in one of its 10,000 reasons, the way God declares himself. And there's always a process of faith. So I want to read a scripture from Romans chapter 5, verse 2. It starts off encouraging us to rejoice in our sufferings and ends up telling us that we are going to experience the healing rain of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Every real message that Jesus spoke, that the apostles wrote, would start off with some kind of a challenge and end up bringing the hope of the Holy Spirit within us, bringing the hope and the faith and God's result. So let me read from Romans 5, verse 2. I'll just read the scripture without making the comments that are in the brackets, and then we'll have a look at them. But we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, and that's the healing rain. So first of all, we've got to look at what is suffering, and then we'll have a look at some of the meanings of these words. In this life, we live with suffering and limitations. They belong to our limited being as distinct from God, who's an unlimited being. Suffering is the human experience of our reaction to our limitations. So let's just go back and look at this scripture again. So we rejoice in our sufferings. And that word rejoice paints a picture that illustrates more of what the heart of rejoicing in suffering is. And the word that's used in the Bible is we are buoyant. We are lifted up in our suffering. In other words, there is something working that lifts us up. It's not us just trying to laugh it off. Well, we can just laugh this off and be happy. No, there is something that lifts us up, and there's a process happening here. That suffering produces in us an endurance, which sees the potential of the hope that God's placed within us. We will all go through suffering because, as I've just said, we have limitations, and we're going to react to them. And Jesus went through suffering, and he went through it knowing why he went through it. It says in the book of Hebrews, he endured the cross, despising the shame. In other words, what he went through did not make him feel worthless or helpless, as it often does. We'll really, as being human beings, that's what our struggle with our limitations makes us feel, worthless. We're unable to really cope with the limitations that we have and the pressure that that puts on us, the sense of loss. But with Jesus, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And that is the pain and gain theory. There are some people that purposely go through pain, become great athletes, performers, because there's a gain in it. Now, you can do that if you want to. You can look for the suffering and realise that as you go through it, something happens and there can be a gain at the end of it if you know what the goal is. But whether you choose that or not and pursue that kind of an endurance test, which people do, we all do at one point or another, we just decide, I'm going to do this. But even if you don't purpose to do that, you will be in situations where the afflictions or the contrary circumstances will be upon you, and you'll feel your limitations and you will simply have to endure it one way or another. But it's good to be able to endure it with hope. So it goes on to say that this endurance produces character. The word there in the original language, dokimi, means it produces something in you that is trustworthy, genuine, tried and true. That's what that character means. It's like passing the test. And you can measure that. You can say, I got through that. Something on the inside stood up and didn't fall over. Something on the inside of me kept going when everything on the outside said, stop, give up, run away, go into fear. No, there is something keeping me going. And that's what the character is. In fact, another word used for that word character in the original language is sincere. Now, sincere is a very interesting word. It's actually a Latin word, and it comes from the word sine, which is without, and cere, which is wax, without wax. That's what it means to be sincere. Cere is wax. If you've ever bought Ceramol ear drops, you'll know that you put them in the ear to dissolve wax. Ceramol ear drops help you to be without wax, so we should call them sincere ear drops. It means without wax. I suppose you find that really interesting. But why do we use that word without wax? Well, the history of it is this. You know that Paul, when he was writing in the Bible, he spoke about there were people, the merchandisers like Alexander, a silversmith, and these people, and their trade was being kind of decimated because people were turning away from idols and they were making wax, or rather silver and gold idols, and business was dropping because people were starting to worship the invisible God. And if people made idols or figures in silver and gold, the cheats would actually silver or gold coat the figurine over wax. And to test out whether that thing really was gold or not, they'll be able to stick a pin up, there's a little hole in the bottom, and find out if the needle went right up, it was not sincere. It was not without wax. It had nothing on the inside. It wasn't the real deal. That's what it means when endurance gives you character. That what happens on the inside is real. It's not fake. It is the nature, it's the gold that God gives us. The character of the Lord, the nature of God, gets formed in us as we endure. And character produces hope. And hope doesn't put us to shame. In other words, it doesn't make us feel hopeless or worthless. We know who we are. We've passed the test. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And that phrase, God's love poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, is referenced in the Bible to two major scriptures, very powerful ones. One is in the book of Acts, when the Apostle Peter stood up, the Holy Spirit had been poured out, like a downpour of the Holy Spirit. And he said, this is that which the prophet Joel spoke about. When you look in the book of Joel, you see the same scriptures. You see, there were in the book of Joel three chapters. The first chapter, a time of the fruit ripening and growing. Second chapter, a time of desolation, the dry seasons. The third chapter, the rains come and the dry earth all of a sudden becomes green. And that's the refreshing rain. That was the healing rain. Let me just read it to you. Joel chapter 2, 26. Once again, you'll have all the food you want. That's a good word for it. Praise the Lord who does these miracles for you. Never again will my people experience disaster such as this. You'll know that I'm here among you, and you'll never again feel ashamed or worthless. After I have poured out my rains again, I will pour out my spirit upon all of you. And I'll pour out my spirit on men and women alike and put strange symbols in the earth and sky, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The book of Acts doesn't go that far because here Joel is speaking about the end times when the Lord comes back. But what it really is telling us that whenever there have been dry times and God's people call out to him, what God's remedy is after the dry seasons to send the rain of the Holy Spirit, and that heals and refreshes. We even see it around us at this time after the drought. So then, let's look at suffering producing that endurance, that human experience of a reaction to our limitation. Now, that's happening in the world today. I don't know if I can remember a time when globally people were feeling on the inside a sense of such limitation in their lives. It's something we're all sharing together. We're not in charge. Not in charge of the future like perhaps we thought we were. Now, what is that? We can't have what we want. We can't do what we want. This is what people are saying. We can't be what we want. We're not quite sure who we really are. That's in everybody's mind. That is actually the human reaction to losing entitlement to certain things that we thought were ours. It's interesting that word entitlement has a word hidden in it, title. It means that's who I am, that's me, and that's mine. And what is mine is part of me. Don't touch what is mine because you're touching me, right? Now, when all of a sudden the thing that you want isn't there, it's not just the thing that people lose, it's the me they begin to lose. And that's a strange feeling. That's that feeling of shame. Doesn't mean I'm ashamed of myself because I've done something wrong. It means something's gone wrong and I don't feel the worth that I used to feel when I had the things that I could have whenever I wanted them. And that disorients people, leads to an identity crisis. Who am I? What I thought was mine isn't mine. Who is the me that says it's mine? That is my trolley of toilet rolls, don't you touch. And there is an outrage. If somebody touches that thing that is mine, I got it first. You know, it really starts with babies, because we are wired, we are designed, we're created to react to our limitations, because we have them. We're created with them. And when a baby cries, it's simply saying in its own language, I am not getting what I want, what I need, and I'm going to let everybody in the house know. And when a baby cries, they are actually entitled, because they're called baby, that's their title, they're entitled to get what they want and what they need. I'm talking about babies. We can't say, what an attitude. Get over it. Just learn to endure. Where's your character? No, oh, that's a baby. They get first preference. You always give a baby what it wants because they've got no way of getting it for themselves and you're there for them. Unfortunately, that kind of reaction, the response, doesn't leave us. It just kind of gets put into different boxes and then springs out from now and again. In fact, kindy kids are funny. There's that story about the kitty in kindy who picks up a toy and says, if I got it first, it's mine. If you've got it, it's still mine and I can grab it because it's mine. And if you've got it and I want to grab it and you stop me, then I'm going to holler because it's mine and I want it. If I've got it and it's broken, it's yours. That's this sense of this is who I am. Now, that's human nature. That's why it's important to know that in our limitations, we do come to this crisis of what I thought was mine isn't mine. Who am I? I somehow feel hopeless and helpless. That's called shame. So we saw Jesus come into the midst, resisting unto blood. And as we learn to live consciously with him, knowing that he's overcome those limitations within, not the outer limitations, the outward man perishes, it goes, fades away, but the inward is renewed day by day. And that's what is growing. That's the true me. If we can realise that, okay, if I can endure this and let go of a little bit of entitlement that I thought I had and find something sincere and real, a character on the inside that Jesus has given me with me now, and he has overcome not the limitations, not the outward limitations. He had to suffer that. He was made perfect and complete in that he suffered. He went through the limitations, but he overcame the reaction of the confusion and the shame. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He said, this is still the real me, and I've lost nothing. Yeah, I'm going to lose my life. I thought I was entitled to my life, but I'm going to lay it down. Now that's what lives inside of us. That's the upside down world of being a Christian. That's how we learn to consciously lose the me self and find the true self. And we're going to get tested with it every day. So this is a process of faith. What do we do now when we meet limitations? Well, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. In everything, give thanks. Okay, I've just lost my entitlement. What I thought I could have, I can't. But what I'm really receiving is something on the inside that I hadn't thought seriously enough about. I've got someone on the inside that's overcome all of those reactions. And I'm going to tap in to the reality of the sincerity of what is truly the new me, the new creation. Now, this allows somebody, because of the grace of God, to do the impossible and to become buoyant in suffering. That's why that scripture says what it says. Rejoice. We rejoice in our sufferings, which is a silly thing to say to somebody. Just be happy. No. Can you see what's happening here? The beautiful thing that God is promising us. You can be lifted up above the confusion of the limitations of what you can be, what you thought you were, who you're now a little bit confused about, whether you're this person that you thought you were or not. You are a better person than that. You are God with us. There's no shame. This creates a new hope. We don't get disoriented. The love of God gets poured out like rain upon us. We don't have to feel helpless, hopeless, or worthless. In fact, we're made to feel worthwhile. That beautiful scripture that I read from Joel. My people shall never again feel ashamed. After I've poured out my rains again, after the dry season, I will pour out my spirit upon all of you. And I'll pour out my spirit on men and women and show you my signs in the earth. So whatever starts in the scriptures with the truth and the reality of the bad news, that is, us and our limitations, progresses through the challenge of faith to find the grace and provide the answer for us in the healing rain of the Holy Spirit, as it did on the day of Pentecost, as it did in the book of Joel, as it has done throughout many visitations of God in the past, and I believe as it is going to be doing in the days in which we live. So our hope is in the healing rain of the Holy Spirit. It is not in our learning how to get into control or how to be a little bit more devious to make this thing work for me or that thing work for me. We don't have to lose our identity of who we are. We have an identity. We know who we are in Christ. And we can say, thank you, Lord. So I pray now, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit. In these days where there is a shaking and a dryness of soul and a fear, that, Lord, you have provided for us on the inside all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We have the gold on the inside. We thank you for your truth and your life. In Jesus' name, amen.